The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we're going to be discussing a proposal to amend the New York State Constitution to establish the right to clean air, clean water, and a more healthful environment for all New Yorkers. And to discuss that, we have two very special guests from Environmental Advocates of New York, which is an nonprofit environmental advocacy organization doing great work. And our guests are Kate Carrera. Kate is Deputy Director at Environmental Advocates New York. She's an attorney and an expert in environmental policy and law. Kate has vast experience working with international, federal, and state governmental bodies. She received her law degree with a certificate in environmental law from Pace University School of Law. And she also has a Master of Public Administration in Environmental Science and Policy from Columbia University School for International and Public Affairs. Also with us is Joshua Cohen. Joshua is Director of Campaigns at Environmental Advocates New York, where he oversees community outreach and engagement efforts. And prior to joining Environmental Advocates, Josh served as Director of Member Services with the Environmental Grantmakers Association. And he also, before that, coordinated energy, waste, and water initiatives for the New School and researched environmental health initiatives with the New York Mayor's Office, Columbia University and the Center for the Biology of Natural Systems, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. So welcome, Kate and Josh.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So before we get into the topic at hand, and for the benefit of our listeners, we always like to begin our program with asking our guests to just provide an overview of their organization, how and why it got started, what its mission is. So would either of you or both of you like to talk about that a bit?
Sure. Thanks, Vincent. So Environmental Advocates NY is an advocacy nonprofit organization based in the Capital District. We've been around for more than 50 years, and we fight for policies that will restore and protect New York's environment, support healthy, vibrant communities, and secure benefits and outcomes for all within and beyond the state through education, partnerships, and advocacy. We focus on three primary policy areas that include a safe climate, clean water, and healthier communities for all.
Mm. And that segues really into the topic at hand, which is the proposal on this year's ballot on November 2nd that would amend the New York State Constitution to establish the right to clean air, clean water, and a healthier environment for all New Yorkers. So Josh, when I read the information for the show and did some research, what came to mind is that there are a lot of federal and state laws on the books to help prevent air and water pollution, along with regulations with respect to the environmental review of proposed development projects. So the question that came up for me is, so why a constitutional amendment and why now at this particular point in time?
It's a great question. Well, the current New York Bill of Rights contains many of our most sacred civil liberties, but nowhere is there a right to a clean and healthful environment. So the inclusion of environmental rights would provide the same fundamental protections that are currently provided to our right to free speech, freedom of religion, due process, and property. So establishing constitutional environmental rights for all New Yorkers ensures that a strong legal foundation would exist to sustain healthy lives and economies for current and future generations. So this work began for us several years ago when Hoosick Falls in the Capital District was experiencing a drinking water crisis after it was discovered that there were PFAS chemicals in its water supply. You're starting to hear about these crises all over the country, really, at this point, unfortunately. And so we worked with the local community there to stand up and advocate for the cleanup, and in the process realized that New Yorkers don't actually have a right to clean water. So that was our entry point into this campaign. So there's some work happening at the national level, state by state, to pass similar amendments. But we've been focused at Environmental Advocates on the New York amendment specifically, sort of growing out of our work in Hoosick Falls.
And Kate, from a legal perspective, what, you know, if you're in a litigation, for instance, what additional tools or power does having a constitutional amendment bring to the table when you're arguing a case or whatever?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think I wanted to add on to that first observation you made, which is there are thousands of environmental laws out there, right? Thousands of environmental regulations. To me, what's really important about this constitutional amendment is that it actually signifies a real paradigm shift in the way that we regulate the environment to a precautionary approach or like a preventative model, which is perhaps novel to the United States in terms of regulating the environment based on a precautionary principle, but not novel in other places in the world. Mm-hmm. So if you think about all those laws that are on the books, they kind of presuppose that pollution happens, right? So we limit how much pollution comes out of smokestacks and pipes and discharges. And then when it's too bad, we clean it up. So then all the whole other set of laws out there deal with limiting pollution and cleaning up pollution. But really, we're kind of absent in like, what are those laws that change that fundamental notion that preventing harm is the first step? So that's what's really exciting to me about this environmental rights amendment is that it really changes the legal landscape and elevates this notion of clean air and clean water, that it needs to be protected at the most fundamental level. In terms of a litigative tool, of course, being enshrined in the state's constitution as a fundamental right, it would actually be enshrined in the Bill of Rights section, as Joshua mentioned, you know, equating to our level, our protections for free speech and freedom of religion and all of those other sacred liberties. Also just to note that, you know, in our state's Bill of Rights Constitution, we do have the fundamental right to play bingo. So we will be and allowing ourselves to put these rights on par, which I think most people, if all would agree, seems quite necessary. But as a litigative right, it would certainly would give standing to folks who have been harmed, or that's the intention or what we think would happen. Of course, it's novel. We don't see, there's only two states that really have a similar right on the books. So a lot of these questions, you know, would be remain to see how they actually come out in the, when being applied or being used in a challenge.
As a former town supervisor, and we did a lot of work with environmental protections, but as I observed the environmental regulations and development project system, there were projects that even the projects that were well-intentioned and really were well-designed and meant to address real community needs were very often knocked out of the box or took so many years to bring to fruition that basically the investors gave up on that. So what would you say to folks that would bring those concerns to the table? And do you think there's any validity to that with respect to this proposed amendment?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're probably referring to NIMBY type, you know, everyone's approach, you know, I might be opposed, someone will be opposed to a wind turbine in their backyard, but that has greater environmental benefits in the long term, right?
Or senior housing or whatever,
exactly. Right. Public housing or all of those things. So like anything, and the U.S. and New York in particular is a pretty litigative state, you know, anyone would be free to use this, I suppose. I mean, just to note, that has been a concern that this would open up a floodgates. We've heard people mention that as an opposition. We haven't seen such a kind of result happen in the two states that do have these rights. I would think that is in the first instance, courts will be probably conservative, perhaps, to how they interpret this and how they apply it. And I think that the likelihood of coming out with a real perverse result based on this is unlikely. I wouldn't say that people wouldn't try to use it in perhaps unusual circumstances, but I would expect the courts to first, you know, as when courts look at or interpret laws, they one of their first principles of interpreting laws, what's the plain meaning of the words if there's no defined definition. Mm-hmm. So in this case, there is no defined definition of clean and healthy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the court will go through a process of understanding what that means in plain English, really. And, you know, I would also expect them to be pretty deferential to agency decision making and laws that are environmental laws that are on the books. It's not saying mm-hmm. that those laws on the books are not protective, right? Or not good. So I think with those two factors, you know, the concerns that you raise, you know, are unlikely to really.
And also that the right to clean air and clean water and a healthy environment doesn't trump all of the other rights that a community or an individual may have to proceed with a reasonable development of private property or what have you, or property in the public good, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, people will still continue. I mean, I think one of the concerns is you fear that there's uncertainty. People won't know how to proceed. But the reality is, I think the important aspect of this right is not so much the defensive use of it. And that's certainly an important use of, or that's an important aspect of this right as a tool in those circumstances when harm is created and there's really no other option. But I think the really important application of this is on the front end decision making, where we start considering these things in the decision making process, so we actually don't get to the point where we need to use it in a litigative sense.
Right. So to ensure that these fundamental core public health rights have a seat at the table, so to speak,
from the start.
Right. Well, I'm sure our listeners want to learn a lot more about this, Kate and Josh, and about the details of the amendment. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health, advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and today we're talking about a proposed amendment to the New York State Constitution on the November 2nd ballot that would ensure the right to clean air, clean water, and a more healthful environment for all New Yorkers. And our guests are Kate Carrera, who's Deputy Director of Environmental Advocates of New York, and Josh Cohen, who's Director of Campaigns at Environmental Advocates New York. So Josh and Kate, before the break, we were talking about what the law means in terms of, in legal terms, in preventative terms. Can you talk a little bit about the concept of environmental and health equity that this proposed amendment would cover, and explain that to our listeners who may not be familiar with those terms?
Sure. Thanks, Vincent. So environmental factors such as air and water quality are really fundamental determinants of our health and well-being. Environmental health disparities exist when communities exposed to a combination of poor environmental quality and social inequities have more sickness and disease than wealthier, less polluted communities. We've definitely seen during COVID, I think it's been in the news, that those living in disadvantaged communities with poor air quality have poorer COVID outcomes. We've seen that over the last 2 years with this pandemic. By recognizing environmental rights as individual rights that belong to all people, government must ensure that their actions and decisions protect these rights equitably for all people, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, income. A recognized environmental right for all New Yorkers prevents the government from undermining or sacrificing or minimizing the rights of one community in order to enhance or protect the rights of another community. So as a result, environmental justice communities, who we work really closely with at Environmental Advocates and in partnership with on a lot of campaigns, these communities have long been sacrifice zones for environmental degradation. And so I'm hopeful that this amendment will really be another tool to support these communities.
And can you, Josh, do you have some examples of other states that have enacted similar measures and kind of how it's worked out for them?
Sure. Yeah, there are two other states that have very similar measures in their constitution, and these are Pennsylvania and Montana. And they have constitutional language that elevates environmental rights as fundamental rights. So both states have state Supreme Court rulings that interpret and apply the constitutional language and have been given strong recognition to the rights of the people to clean water, clean air, and a healthy environment. There are several other states that are considering proposals right now to enshrine these environmental rights. I think Virginia, Hawaii, West Virginia, New Mexico are just a few examples. New Jersey, I believe, that are sort of in the process right now. But I think in New York, we are closest to passing this to join Pennsylvania and Montana to be the third state to have these rights.
Just out of curiosity, since you brought up Pennsylvania, how does fracking fit into this picture? And has their amendment been used to in those discussions and you know, potential conflicts?
I can hop in here, Josh, if you like.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah,
we it's a great question.
No, it's a great question, and we hear it a lot. And in fact, we often hear, well, Pennsylvania still has fracking, so I guess it's not doing its job. And that's not necessarily true. So one of the kind of landmark instances where this right was used in Pennsylvania was exactly that, to help strike down a pro-fracking state law that would have preempted local governments from banning fracking in their municipalities. So a local government in Pennsylvania did ban fracking, and the state came over to kind of overturn that by saying localities can't ban fracking. Well, that was struck down really on the basis of using this amendment. So it is a
very interesting.
It has been used in that way. You know, another example that came out of Pennsylvania, I think just last year or the year before, was the Pennsylvania legislature passed a bill that would have made it difficult for municipalities, the same issue of local and state, you know, preempting local governments from doing things, would have made it more difficult for states to implement plastic bag bans. And the governor of Pennsylvania vetoed that bill on the basis of the environmental rights amendment in the Constitution.
That's great. Great. And so, Kate, how does an environmental rights amendment go about being enacted? Could you just run down a quick history of how it got to be on the ballot on November 2nd?
Yeah, absolutely. So without getting too technical, of course, there's two ways to amend the state constitution. So either what they call a legislatively referred constitutional amendment, which this one is, or through something called the Constitutional Convention, which interestingly is a statewide, it comes up on the New York State ballot every 20 years, and it kind of opens it up to New Yorkers saying, should we amend the constitution? And it would open up the whole kind of the entire constitution for amendment and revision. So it didn't occur through that route. It came through a legislatively referred route. And Joshua kind of spoke about it in the beginning many years ago when dealing with the issues in Hoosick Falls and started to work with the legislature, environmental advocates, and others to talk about this right. And let's put this through an amendment process, or let's put this through a legislative process. And so what needs to happen, the procedure is detailed in the state constitution, where two consecutively elected legislative bodies needs to pass the same bill. So it was passed first in 2019 and then again in 2021.
Mm-hmm. I remember I listened to Senator Michelle Hinchey was at a meeting I was at a couple of days ago, and she said it was for her first time speaking on the Senate floor in support of the bill. So it was really interesting.
Absolutely. Very exciting. So it had its second passage just last session, and it goes directly to the ballot. There's no other process for the legislature. There's no role for the governor. It just gets referred to the people of New York to decide.
What better way, right?
Yeah.
Let the people speak. Josh, talk to us a little bit about how environmental advocates organize a campaign to advocate for this amendment, and what partners are involved, and what's your sense of out there from your polling or just general sense of whether or not New Yorkers, whether it enjoys widespread support.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So early on, we activated our network of advocates. We have several thousand advocates across the state to pressure their state representatives to vote yes for this. And as we know, it had to pass two consecutively elected legislatures to now be on the ballot. So while we were sort of pressuring our state senators and assembly members, we simultaneously worked with local elected officials at the municipal and county level in many areas across the state to pass local resolutions in support of the state amendment. Just for example, Ulster County's Environmental Committee signed a letter in support of this amendment several months back, and the city of Kingston actually passed a resolution in support as well. We found in places that have passed these resolutions that there is bipartisan support in all of the areas that this has passed in, which is very promising.
Yeah.
So now we have established the Vote Yes for Clean Air and Water campaign, which is comprised of 60 plus organizations. That includes environmental advocacy groups, civic associations, indivisible groups, businesses, and labor in support. And you mentioned Senator Hinchey. Just last Friday, we actually held a rally in Kingston with Senator Hinchey.
On the waterfront, right?
Yeah, exactly. And several local organizations were there in support, many of them coalition members, such as Partners for Climate Action Hudson Valley, Scenic Hudson, For the Many, River Keeper, Catskill Mountain Keeper, the Hudson Valley Area Labor Federation, which is an AFL-CIO chapter, mm-hmm. and a farmer from Dig Acres, who's also part of the Hudson Valley Young Farmers Coalition, and DJs for Climate Action, and many others. But those were NYPIRG. There were several local advocates. And our coalition's been meeting weekly. And now that early voting is going to be starting this Saturday, October 23rd, we're really ramping up pressure to get the word out on the campaign.
And folks can go to the Ulster County Board of Elections website to find out where the early voting locations are. It's great to hear that it enjoys bipartisan support, because a lot of younger people don't realize that our major environmental legislation on the national level, clean air, clean water, endangered species, all of those were passed in the 70s and signed by President Richard Nixon, who was a Republican. And you know, the advocacy for those laws put forward were that everybody has the need to enjoy clean air and clean water and healthy environment. It has nothing to do with your political party. It has to do with being a human being on this planet. So that's really great news to hear. So before we run out of time, Josh and Kate, if folks are interested in getting involved in the campaign, or they want to learn more about any of the work or the issues that Environmental Advocates New York is involved in, where do they go to get that information? How do they get involved?
Great. Thanks. Yeah, we have our coalition website, ourairourwaterny.org. I encourage any listeners to visit that website. There's events happening in the local area and across the state. This is also our week of action. So we're trying to engage people from across the state through our coalition to get the word out to at least three of their close contacts, whether that's family or friends or coworkers, to then encourage those people to reach out to three more as a way to really get the word out to vote yes on proposal two.
So that's great. So folks, November 2nd, vote early or vote on November 2nd. I think it's proposition two, if I remember right, on the ballot. And that is a proposed amendment to the New York State Constitution to ensure the right to clean air, clean water, and a healthier environment for all New Yorkers, including you and your family and loved ones. So Joshua and Kate, thank you so much for the work that you and your colleagues do, not only on this issue, but on all of the other issues that you work on behalf of all of us. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You're welcome. And you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.